Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
This is a podcast from The Times, sports newspaper of the year.
Hello and welcome to the games. This is the final programme for London 2012. So we thought we'd get all sentimental. Over the next 10 or 15 minutes or so, you'll hear a variety of Times reporters revealing their favourite personal moment from the games, be it sporting or otherwise. Of course, as we record this, Mo Farah hasn't yet achieved his double, which he's surely going to do. But bearing that in mind, here they are. Author and journalist Lynn Truss joins me now. And Lynn, one of your highlights was before the games even started.
Well, yeah, I was always worried about how well we would do the opening ceremony because that appearance at Beijing, you know, when they came on the bus, was so terrible and so embarrassing. So the opening ceremony was just a triumph, I thought. And I suppose the key moment, the best moment of all, was the lighting of the flame. I just thought that the lighting of the flame and then the raising of the flame, which was so beautiful and so unexpected, and I think had been a pretty well-kept secret. So the way the flame was formed of all these individual flames from different countries was just lovely and very heartwarming, and I think the opening ceremony, if anyone was worried about whether we were going to do a big good Olympics, I think the opening ceremony put a lot of doubts to rest. It just made you think, God, we're brilliant. Which is not something we like to think about ourselves, but I really think that it's been very good for the self-esteem of the British this last couple of weeks, and I hope it has a lasting effect.
It had every emotion, didn't it? It had pomp, circumstance, humour, tears, everything, didn't it?
Oh, yeah. No, it was extremely well devised. And of course, the humour, which I think some countries haven't sort of got it. They have said, oh, dear, what was that? All that nonsense. But I think the appearance of the Queen was just such a masterstroke. I can't imagine anyone wouldn't have thought that is funny and that is amazing. And we, I think, to anyone who lives in England, I mean, everyone would have been prepared for it to be a looky-likey. Well, it wasn't, you know. Apparently, William and Harry were interviewed this last week and asked, did they know that it was going to be the Queen? And they didn't know either. Even they were sort of taken aback. Just thought it was so funny that the Queen had agreed to be in a skit, as it were. So absolutely marvellous, and I think set a marvellous start to everything.
Chief sports photographer Mark Aspeland, you've seen so many amazing things in the games so far, but which is the standout moment?
For me, I've got this whole catalogue running from the opening ceremony all the way through these amazing venues and events, and obviously Jessica Ennis is up there, Mo Farah's up there, but standing literally about 3-5 feet away from Uchimura, this tiny, tiny little Japanese gymnast, when he was on the rings and he was holding this crucifix position, and it was one of the moments for a photographer where I took the camera away from my face and looked at this spectacle in front of me, and I could literally feel the hairs on the back of my neck stand up on end. And I just was thinking, I can't possibly take a picture of this. I have to watch it because it is just so enthralling. And then I realised I was a photographer for the Times, picked my camera up and got on with the rest of my job. And I think that's one of the defining moments for me where I stopped being a photographer and I just realised how unbelievably lucky I am to be standing so close to these amazing moments.
Do you think you can see another one from Mo Farah? Do you think he's going to do the double?
I do, actually. I do think he's going to do the double, just like Usain did. And yes, I do. And I genuinely think that will cap off a great Games.
The Times chef de mission, Jeremy Griffin, joins me now. Jeremy, your moment, please.
My moment, Chris, although I can probably pinpoint it to a second or even a fraction of a second, if you like, is the moment when Sir Chris Hoy rounded the bend on the last lap of the Kirin on Tuesday, when it looked to all of us observers in the stadium, it looked like he was a beaten man. I mean, he was at least three quarters of a wheel behind his nearest opponent, and all of a sudden, from nowhere it seemed, but actually from his incredibly muscular frame, obviously, he produced a burst of speed that took him over the final and won him that record sixth gold medal. It was a very, very special moment. Great for all of those who watched it. I remember years ago in Athens when Steve Redgrave won his fifth, thinking it'd be great to be there to witness that. What a moment it must be. And actually to see that record broken is equally as good, I think. So, yeah, that's my moment of the Games.
The fact that it was his last moment of the Games must have added poignancy to it as well.
It did. I mean, you've seen Chris Hoy on the podium a number of times, obviously, over the last few years, and he is given to emotion. It has to be said, he comes across as an extraordinarily humble guy for someone who's achieved so much in his discipline. So it's impossible not to like him, really, and as you say, without getting too cliched about it, it did have that kind of fairy tale ending to it. So I think it was great. One of the things about the Velodrome, it's got a fantastic atmosphere. You know, it's pressurised. They'll only let you in at certain points between races. They won't open the doors because there's a certain level of air pressure in there. And once you get in there, it's a real cauldron of excitement and activity and noise and, you know, Union flags all over the place. So it was a very, very patriotic moment as well, I think. And as I say, just emotional for him. And I think also, I would say there were a few moist eyes in the house as well.
Matt Dickinson, there's a lump in my throat. Tell me there's one in yours too.
Yes, I have to say, I mean, I've enjoyed so much great sport, you know, unforgettable sport, and it's been a joy. But if you want me to choose one moment, it was the day I brought my kids. You know, we did have the bonus, the cherry on the icing of the cake of going to see a certain Mr. Bolt run in the evening. But it was just a day of bliss, a day of absolute bliss. And, you know, all that sort of, can we put on a good Olympics? Can we put on a great Olympics? Well, we put on a fantastic Olympics. And my kids left enchanted by the whole experience.
And how significant do you think Usain Bolt will be for them? Will he be to them what, I guess, I don't know, what Daley Thompson might be like for me, I guess?
Well, absolutely. I mean, you know, they're cyclists by nature, so, you know, they've had the Wiggo sideburns on. and I'm not joking, they ride around the park and we all have to go in formation. And if I'm lucky, I can be Chris Froome on a good day. But no, I mean, he's you know, if you ask them this morning, who are the sporting superstars, you know, Bolt is up there with Messi, Ronaldo and anyone else you care to mention. And, you know, we talk an awful lot and maybe sometimes politicians in particular overstate, you know, the legacy benefits. But there is without a doubt a generation of kids that will grow up, and this will be a transformative, hopefully a transformative couple of weeks.
Alison Rudd, I've been asking plenty of people this question, so now it's your turn. What is your defining moment from London 2012?
One of the most remarkable things about the Games is the way that hardened hacks have been showing their emotion and they've been clapping and getting involved and doing things that we just never ever do and never feel we're allowed to do. I mean, you know, the rule is you don't show your colours, so to speak, if you're a football match, for example, and you just don't do that. But that's gone out the window at these Games. So my most memorable and defining moment was when I was watching Louis Smith take part in the Pommel final. And I was typing away and, you know, very busy, and suddenly my heart started pounding. And it felt like my heart was completely separate from my head. I had no idea I had emotionally bought into his story. And, I, you know, for a second I thought, what's going on? Why is my heart pounding? I was really nervous. And then I just forgot that I was a journalist, and I watched him compete with my heart pounding. And when he finished, I'd made sure I'd sat as close as possible to him and the judges. And when he finished, I put my arms out and I clapped as close to the judges as I could in the hope that my extra clapping might affect their decision. It was a completely self-indulgent moment, perhaps. But, I mean, we've all been doing it, so I don't feel bad about confessing it. But the interesting thing for me was that it was, you know, a completely... I didn't. It wasn't an intellectual reaction. It was a completely purely emotional reaction. And it's just nice to know that you can be there reporting, and yet you still feel emotional about it. And I like the fact that I still care, I suppose.
Rick Broadbent, athletics correspondent. You've obviously spent most of the time in the track. I assume your favourite moment will have come from inside the athletics stadium.
Definitely. It was only last night as well. I'd go for David Radice breaking the world record. It was one of those pinch yourself moments, and a real privilege to be there. It was stunning the way he did it. Ran from the front. Nobody's ever set that world record in the 800 metres without a pacemaker. So that was astonishing. He's a great bloke as well. He's got a great story, being a Maasai tribesman, but he's very eloquent, really real gentle giant. So really pleased for him, and I think he really stole the show from Usain Bolt, which is no easy task. So definitely David Radice breaking the 800 metres world record.
And who would win over maybe 400 or 500 metres, Bolt or Radice?
I think Radice would probably win, although that's total guesswork, but I think it would be easier for Radice to drop down than it would be for Bolt to step up. I think that would suit him better. I mean, Radice does that anyway. He was going to run the 400 metres relay if Kenya had got to the final. It's a shame they didn't make it, because that would have been a great sight. Bolt hates the idea of doing the 400. It's hard work. Getting into endurance, sort of running, which is Radice's meteor, if you like. So I think Radice might win it.
Owen Slotts, chief sports reporter on The Times. Tell me what your defining moment from the games that you'll take away is.
For me, what was the actual special thing about these games was that I was kind of able to share it with other people, family and friends. Obviously, I wasn't with them the whole time, but, you know, you'd have friends going into the stadium or into the velodrome, and they would be telling you, Christmas, we're so excited, we saw this thing. And that's what I liked about these games, to see that magic brush off on other people and see them feeling the same way that you get to feel, or that I get to feel every single time I go to an Olympic Games or something amazing like this. So, with that as your background, Super Saturday was my day. I was incredibly lucky. It was my one day off working from the Games, and I had 5 tickets, family tickets, for the athletic stadium. So I went with my wife and my 3 kids, and we went absolutely nuts. And it was just the wonderful thing was seeing that what I get and what I love about sport completely and utterly transferred to my children. And I just took so much joy in seeing the tears in their eyes and the excitement on their faces when Mo Farah ran that last lap. I mean, Jess was fantastic, and they knew, they understood the thing, that she wasn't really going to lose it. And Greg Rutherford was fantastic too. But the sheer thrill of seeing Mo Farah go around that last lap with the 3 little Slots just getting it and just loving it and being so just on the edge of their seats with their hearts and their mouths, just completely, completely in the moment. That was completely and utterly wonderful. And the bit that will remain with me forever from that was at the end of the evening when my 9-year-old turned to me and said, Dad, that was the best thing I've ever seen in my life.
All I can say from that is it's going to be a very expensive holiday to Rio in 4 years' time, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. They did come to understand that this was a one-off, not to be repeated. And the amount of times I told them that was the greatest night ever in the history of British athletics, and you'll never see anything like that again. They were quite tired of it by the end, but they were very lucky to see it, and I felt very lucky to be able to share it with them.
You've been getting in touch throughout the games. Thanks so much for all your messages on Twitter. You use the hashtag MyOlympics. Will sent a fantastic message, which sums up the British women competing so far. Will, who is at Chapeau Blanc, says, "Don't mess with British women. They'll punch you, kick you, then ride off on a horse in perfect time to the music. Hashtag gold." Love it, Will. The gents have been pretty good too. If you're interested in subscribing to the Times iPad edition, and you should be, it's great, go to timespacks.co.uk. Okay, you can get all kinds of information that you need there. The Games is no more, but The Game with Gab Marcotti will return on the 20th of August, your weekly slice of Premier League action. Thanks for listening. I've been Chris Skinner. Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.